Welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, and here with me on the council today is Brittany, Liz, and Tammy. Welcome to the council.
Hello.
We have a really good one about blending families. We get these specific questions, and I think it's perfect for a council because everyone's situation is different, and we all feel like we're the exception a lot of times. So having someone with specialized experience of different walks of life and different backgrounds, we're really bringing it today. The Council of Moms, making it up as we go and unapologetic for it.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? The Council of Moms, getting things done. Right? And as always, Council of Moms made with real moms. Thanks for my real moms here today. Here is our question. Everybody's got an opinion about second families. I hear comments that suggest that this is plan B or just making do with our circumstances or some variation of second family being second rate. I think I internalized some of those ideas before being in a second family myself, which made it harder now that this is my life. My question for you is, what stigmas have you encountered about being in a blended family? What mindsets have you had to change? And how do you keep out the negativity?
I laugh at that because I'm like, the mindset I had to change was, oh, it's harder than I thought. Mm-hmm. It is awful. Like, brutal.
Yeah. There is this sort of negative. I'm single. I'm not even remarried. And I get things like, you would probably just, I don't know, want a companion. Or like people just automatically, even unsolicited to me, I'm not even in the situation, I get that, like, well, of course it'll be second rate. Of course it won't be great. Of course
it
won't.
As good as your first.
And of course it will be, like, really hard and, like, do you even want to do it? And before they've asked anything, I feel that feeling. So I can't imagine I'm going to try to imagine what that is like for you in your situations. Yeah, Liz, what's it like?
So I'm widowed. My husband is also widowed. I was, like, single for almost 4 years. He was single for, like, 2. Anyway, we met, and wedding, we had someone come up to us, and they're like, I am so happy for you, but it's so sad that you both had to lose somebody in order to find each other. And it's like our wedding day, guys.
Oh. And I was like, can you just not say that on, I don't know, our wedding day?
And I was like, thank you. I don't know what to say to this.
People are
dumb. I went to a wedding of a widower friend of mine. And it wasn't you, Liz.
It's my wedding. It's fine, guys.
And I had people come up to me. And I'm just the friend of, come up to me and cry to me about how hard this was for them. And I thought, I don't want to be unfeeling, and I'm sorry that this is hard for you, that they're getting remarried, but this is actually their wedding right now.
Yeah.
Like, can you process this, I don't know, the day before, the day after, like, not at their wedding? I just felt so disrespectful to me that they couldn't just carve out 2 hours just to be happy for them.
Right.
And try to imagine what it might be like for them. Because that's something that you've thought a lot about, and maybe they haven't thought about it until that moment, but I just don't, it is a real thing of that sort of weight put on you that you haven't asked for.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stigmas around being the second mom or a second wife, right? Or that you're not really a parent or an authority figure for these kids. We just have had to combat it from so many different angles, whether it's just random strangers. Like, here's a good story. We're at the grocery store, and I have this cute, blonde-haired, blue-eyed little girl. And I have dark features, guys. I have brown hair, brown eyes, dark eyebrows. And this guy at the grocery store was, like, looking at us, like, so confused because I'm clearly, like, someone to this little girl. And he's like, how did you get a blue-eyed, blonde-haired girl? And I'm like, and I think initially, at first, I was like, you know, walking around with 8 kids, like always defending, like, oh, they're not all mine, right? Like trying to defend that I didn't birth all of these. And I'm like, I didn't do that in this short amount of time frame, guys. It wasn't me, you know? Yeah. But I like had to realize that like her opinions matter and she's taking in everything. And I just like looked at that guy and I was just like, I just got lucky, I guess. Mm. But had I said, oh, she's not mine, I think that just would have just, oh, yeah, just really hurt this cute little girl. I don't know. There's stigmas.
That's a good job.
Yeah. No kidding.
Actually, Liz, I think that's a really good example. And I want to like give a opposite version of that, where when I'm similar coloring, me and you have a similar coloring, and my stepson is blonde, and I think in that situation, if I had claimed him as my own, that would have been more hurtful for him. So knowing
the
child, I think would be really, really important. So because I know how he would respond, well, she's not my mom, right? Like, I'm not, you're right. So if I had
because you
been
come
like,
from a divorce background.
He's my son. Like, that would have been like, no, I'm not. So knowing the situation, knowing the child, I think is so important in that response. But
do you feel like that becomes because you're from a divorce background?
Yeah.
Or he was older.
Or older?
It's always been that way. And I'm not going to go into all of it, but it's called a loyalty bind where he's very, very loyal. And it can happen in a widowing situation too. But they want to be very, very loyal to their biological parent. And so if I had ever tried to claim him as my son, like he knows I love him. But if I had done that, I think that would have been overstepping for him. So anyway, just
it's
so,
so
interesting.
It's so tricky because you do have to be in that moment and know that kid of how they would want to, which requires you to talk about uncomfortable things with them.
Right, right. Yeah.
But it shows so much respect for the kid. I like that.
I was going to share some of the – it was interesting to hear your perspective, Liz, because I have a different perspective. Both of us were coming from a place of divorce and just a lot of the comments that we get. But one of the areas that I feel most judged is when I happen to mention to somebody that I'm a stepmom. And, like, instantly I can feel this energy, like, I can, like, almost hear the questions they have, like, well, why and what did you do? Or, like, almost, like, immediately they think less of me. But when we got married, it was not a mourning moment for us or for other people, but it was more like, this is your next chance and you get to repair all the broken things and yay, instant family. It's going to be so perfect. And I almost like had that expectation for myself.
Don't ruin this
too.
One or, you know,
yeah, don't say the worst thing. You already had one shot. Oh, so, but I had that expectation myself. It was a lot of pressure. And then when it got really hard after we got married, I was like, crap. Like, I am terrible at being married, I guess. Like, this is the worst. And apparently I suck at marriage. Like, so all of this judgment I was putting on myself because I was internalizing a lot of those beliefs that we are broken and I am less than and just shame, 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 shame. I can't even make the next second one work. I'm going to end up divorced again. And I'm just...
How do you change that mindset?
Yeah.
Because you're getting it externally as well as internally. That seems so hard. Yeah.
It took a lot of emotional boundaries. So people that did have negativity that I didn't even let it come in. I let it bounce right back to them. Like that's their their thing. But it took a lot of inner work because I realized a lot of it was coming from me. It was my own thoughts and my own beliefs that I had about blended families. I didn't come from a blended family. I didn't even know any other stepmoms when I became a stepmom. So there was a lot of judgment that I had. So it was empowering myself.
I also think it takes like being vulnerable with other people and communicating to them how you want your family to be addressed and viewed. Because like in school settings, right? Like I have 7 kids in elementary school. Guys, that's a lot of kids.
In elementary.
It's a lot.
From preschool to 6th grade. And so like having to talk to the school and being like, hey, this is our family background. We're both widowed. We're remarried. And we have all these kids. Obviously, we have every grade.
Wow. I'm not going to be able to participate in all of the class parties
every year. Hey, that's the best ad I've ever heard.
Snacks, right okay? There. It is physically totally impossible.
It. You can't say
I'm not
no.
providing all the class snacks. I'm sorry. No, just kidding. But like talking to them and being like, we are a family. These kids are being raised as siblings. They're together 24/7. There's no this side or that side. Like, please help us out. And it's hard. Oh, it's hard wow. to be vulnerable, right? And talk to people that way or teachers, even like church groups. Like, how do you want your family to be viewed? Like, these are hard conversations. Like, how do you want them to be addressed?
Those stigmas and those comments, what do you wish that we were better about in supporting each other in blended families?
I think that, like, all the people that love you, they're so happy that they can see the beauty of your blended family, that there's more, right? There's these extra human beings that are in your life and they provide so much value, right? I wish they could just see this blended family as not a negative thing, as like a whole, right? Because they're like, oh, you know, if so-and-so hadn't been in this situation, then you wouldn't have these kids. And you're like, yes, that's true. That is factual, right? However, we are living together. We are celebrating all the holidays together. We're a family, right? Like, this is our version of whole, and it looks different. And I just want you to accept us as we are, you know?
Mm-hmm. And even if you're not all living together, even if you are,
yeah,
even if kids are going back and forth, you're still whole.
Yeah. And you're a real family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, like both of you said, Brittany and Liz, I agree that those conversations are important because no one really knows how to do blended family. Not just speaking of us, but like our families, outside family members. Nobody knows what that really looks like.
Yeah, what are the rules? How do we do it?
So people are going to say stupid stuff and you just have to go, people. Yeah. People.
I like that.
Yeah, because
people. Am I right?
I remember, so I had never been married, and I was 35, almost 35. I mean, I was, you know, 34 years, 8 months, and 22 days years old.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Counting. And I married a widower, and I remember for our situation, it was so joyful because Tammy was being freed from a life of servitude to being single, you know? Jim saved her. It was a joy. It was so joyous. I'm not even joking. I swear to you on all that is holy. My dad bought my fiancé, Jim, a barbecue. He didn't buy any of the other brother-in-laws anything when they got engaged to my sisters.
No
to the oldest
way.
Child. I'm the oldest of 5. He's like,
it's your
dowry. You barbecue. Cow. I mean, yeah, like,
here's
so
your dowry. Her dowry.
Exactly. It. Someone finally married Tammy. Let's do something. Oh, wow. Let's seal the deal. You can't go back on this now.
You would have to give back the barbecue.
Yeah, exactly.
And I know you're not going to do that.
I think that's what my dad was intending. And so it was really joyous. But what was interesting is after we were married, and it was so fun, and the wedding was awesome. We had all of Jim's family, all of my family. All of Michelle's family was there. All of the kids wow. I'd ever taught in school. It was gigantic. It was the biggest party. We loved it. So fun. And then when we got into the thick of it with family, and we went to our first family party with Michelle's family, who's Jim's deceased wife, our other family members are like, what are you doing? Like, you need to cut ties with that family. You can't keep doing things with that family. Like, start your own family and just do things with your in-laws. And it was on both sides. People were like, why are you hanging out with Michelle's family? And we had collectively made the decision. And even I was like, because that's family. Like, if I died, I would want my family to be involved in the lives of the children we have together. And so I'm sure Michelle wants there to be a relationship with her family. And Jim was like, they're my brothers. Her brothers are my brothers. We can't just not see them anymore. And so we do everything as much as we can with Michelle's family. And in fact, the two girls we've had together, their favorite cousins are on that side of the family, even though there's no blood relation. They just love that family. And so navigating that space has been interesting, trying to break those stereotypes of maybe you cut ties. No, well, we didn't. And so we just love, we have three families we do everything with. That's been tricky. And that did take a sitting down with the families to say, here's how this is going to look. We're not going to have Thanksgiving. There won't be on and off years. Every 3 years, we'll rotate. That, wow. That's just how it's going to look for us. So, yeah, having the discussion is really, really helpful.
And you can survive these hard discussions. Yeah. That's what I like. Like, you can that, and you can make it work for you.
And it was a problem. I mean, there were feelings that were hurt. Like, what? You're not going to be with us every other Christmas? Mm-hmm. Oh, sorry. I know. We just have to reframe what family looks like. And it's, I just think maybe, I don't know, Liz and Brittany, but I feel like there are more blended families now than there have ever been in the history of the world. Yeah. So,
fun fact. Here's a fun fact. There are more blended families than nuclear families now. Just recently in the last couple of years.
Hey, we're in the norm.
I love that. Yeah, now it's still strong, guys. This is the typical family now. Yeah.
Yes. So figuring that out, but yeah, like we've all just got to learn how to re-examine, put on new glasses of what a family looks like.
Redefine, yeah.
Redefine.
As a community. And like, especially holidays, all those things, right? We got to redefine what that's going to look like.
Well, and what's so interesting is all of us have very different circumstances. And every single client I've ever worked with has had a completely different circumstance.
And so just the thing to clarify, is you do work with blended families specifically, and you coach them through this. So you've seen a lot. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I talk to a lot of women, and they all have different dynamics. And so there's not a normal blended family. So just because you know of somebody that this is how they do it in their blended family does not mean that that's how we should be doing it in our blended family. Liz and I and Tammy and I, like, we do it all different because it is different. We all have very complex dynamics, right? I know a lot of blended families, they have kids going back and forth and how often and some of you like have kids 100% of the time. And I mean, it just gets so complex so quickly. So when we're trying to compare to somebody else's blended family, it's not even it's apples to oranges. It's not even the same kind of comparison. Yeah. So getting out of that comparison mindset and just like owning this is our family. Yeah.
And it's encouraging too. It feels like a more of a creative act, I think, of just saying it's going to look different for it. We get to create this together of how we want it to look. But I do appreciate hearing specific examples because I think it gives you good ideas about what is possible, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I once had a professor tell me.
Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I once had a professor tell me that there's like over 20 different types of blended families. Wow. And I was like, wait, what are you talking about? Because I'm like, I can maybe name three. And then you like think about different kinds of marriage relationships. And then you think about children on one side or another side or together. And then you think about adoption and foster.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, there's your 20. Like when you think of all the different combos, that's how there's so many different types. So yeah, it's not always going to look the same. And you really have to figure out, what do I want my family to look like? And who do I need to communicate to help reinforce family values and structure? It's
so going back to like the question about like mindsets and stigmas, what have you found is been helpful to keep out the negativity so that you can focus on the joy and that the creating the blended family that really works well for your situation?
I love what Brittany said, that it was her. She had to do it. It was a personal, because I really think that's it. I think it comes from within. I know for me it was, because I remember thinking, my husband took care of a woman dying of cancer for 5 years. And I married him. And I remember thinking, he will never love me to that degree. He will never, ever love me the way you love someone who's dying. Like, I felt like just like a live-in nanny with benefits, really, for the first couple of years. And then but I had to figure that out in my brain and let go of all these negative thoughts that I kept feeding myself to be less than. And so I love that you said, Brittany, it's personal. And I think it is for all of us. Like, we have to let go of the negativity. And if it's from other people, then you just go, people.
Yeah.
Yeah. People.
Because those ideas are, those come from fear, right? And from a scarcity mindset of love is finite, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. One thing that we've done to help our kids is talk about choice. And I know, like, one of my bonus kids was having a hard time with me, and my husband sat him down and was like, hey, do you realize that Liz chose you and that she wants to be here?
I like that.
That, you know, she didn't have to get married. No one forced her into this situation. She chose this, and she chose the whole package. That means she chose you. And that really helped our bonus son realize that, like, he was chosen, you know, like, this is a family of choice, and it's one that we're choosing to build, and it's one that we're choosing to work at. And it's really helped us, like, unify and, like, have them feel value in our unique family dynamic.
I love that.
That's really beautiful. That's a great way to frame it.
Sorry. We've had a similar conversation in our house where my husband actually ended up adopting my oldest. And we've talked about how so special and unique that is. Like, hey, most dads don't get to, like, choose who their child is, but your dad literally was like, yes, sign me up. Like, I'm ready for this. And right. Like, and just making that, finding the really special parts of it. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, just kind of going back to the same thing, but, like, really, really owning our story and being, like, so confident that it's unshakable. Nobody can shake my confidence in my family. There are certain people that I know I don't have conversations with about my blended family because they can't handle it.
Totally.
And they're 100%. Judgmental. And
yeah.
So that's, like, a boundary that I'm, like, I remember, like, trying to vent about
certain
things in my blended family.
Because you
want to
get everybody on the same team, right? And sometimes you can't.
Exactly. Yeah. But I remember trying to vent to people and, like, just seeing, like, judgment coming from their eyeballs. And I was like, oh, you're not the right person to talk about this to. Yeah, I need to find somebody that gets it. So
lesson learned. Yeah. People, am I right, Tammy?
People. God. They're the worst.
The worst. Yeah, not everybody gets it. And that's a good point. Like, you want people on your team who are going to be supportive of it. And sometimes people don't want to be. And sometimes they want to, but they just can't. They just can't. And they can only do the best that they can. And that kind of negativity, although you can't, I think, avoid all of it, you can... There is some that you don't have to take on. There is some that you can kind of fight a little bit back of and defend for the protection of those relationships that you're trying to grow that are so important to you.
Right. And if it's someone like family that you don't want to just cut off,
right?
I think it's okay to educate a little bit too. Like, hey, you know what? I noticed that this was happening and that felt a little bit unfair. It would be beneficial if we maybe approached it this way, or have you ever thought about it this way? Like, in a loving way, not in, like, a defensive attacking way. Yeah. But in a way of, like, hey, I want to teach you because, right. And it's usually better coming from the person that's biologically bonded.
100%. So.
Good pro tip. I like that. These are, like, good hacks for us to keep in mind.
It's a hack.
Okay.
But I do like that, finding someone that's safe to talk to, because Brittany, I have one of my very best friends in the world. She also got married later in life, and she married a widower. So she's, like, my immediate go-to. She's the one I can talk to who will absolutely get it. And I remember one time I was talking to her and I said, oh, I've got to get on this phone call. This young woman's calling me because she's about to marry a widower. And so she just wants some advice. And my friend Amy, as she was hanging up the phone, yelled, tell her it's not worth it. And I laughed so hard because only she could say that to me.
Yeah,
and
right.
We laughed about it.
If someone else had said that, you'd been like,
oh,
I was
so mad.
You.
Yes.
How
like,
dare.
You're not my friend. But she said it and we laughed and laughed. And yeah, like it. because it is. But yeah, you need to find your people that you can talk to.
Again, humor in these situations can, and not stressing about things outside of your control can go a long way. I think with that mindset too, it doesn't always work, but a lot of times it does.
Yeah, it helps.
Well, this has been a really great discussion, and we've just come to the end of our time. And I'm wondering if you have any like final thoughts about this idea of stigmas you've encountered or mindsets you've had to change or how you really keep out that negativity, because I feel like it could do such a benefit to real families and real people for us to be educated on that. So what are your final thoughts, counsel? Let's start with you, Tammy.
For me, I would say just life really is short. It just is. And there are just something, at the end of the day for me, a lot of it is just, it's not worth worrying about. I can't believe how fast, like I remember when I first got married, I thought this is going to be long and hard. And, you know, 18 years later, I'm like, oh, wow, how did that go by so fast? So it just, it's been great. It has, as hard as it has been way, way better. Like, I love it. Love my husband, love my family. And it's, yeah, it just goes, life is so short. It goes by so fast. So just embrace it. Embrace the yuck. It's totally worth it.
Oh, I love that perspective. Thank you. Brittany?
I would say instead of finding the negative things about your family, if you're trying to get out of that mindset yourself, looking for all of the things that make it awesome. So I know for, I know a lot of people that like they co-parent with someone. So their kids are like back and forth every other week or whatever. And they're, instead of like thinking how awful and terrible it is, they look at it as like, this is an opportunity to, for me to get like my me time in and to recuperate so I can be my best when they come back. But like looking for the actual, the benefits, the lessons, the great things that have come because of it instead of seeing all the negative.
Yeah. Oh, well said. And Liz, final thoughts?
I just think it just comes down to loving your choice, right? Like realizing that you chose this and these are people that are yours. Like they're now in your care, you're stewards over them. And there's just something so beautiful about these people that wouldn't have been in your life. And they came through a very unique and special way. And it's an opportunity. And I just love it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Liz, Brittany, and Tammy, for being here, for being so vulnerable and teaching us so much about your experience that applies now to more of the population than it doesn't. And I
that's cool.
I like that is a really that's a really cool thing to know. So as always, I've learned a ton on Council of Moms. This is where it's at for me. I love getting women together that come from different backgrounds, different life situations, different opinions, and come together to help each other out. I just really feel like this is how we really best like serve each other. And so it's beautiful that you've been a part of it. So thank you so much. And thank you for listening to the Council of Moms. Hop on over to YouTube where you can see us as we give a side eye to people. Am I right? And, and other
people. Other,
when Tammy says it, it makes me laugh so hard. It's going to be in my head now forever and always. So thank you for that gift. It can be
your gift
too. If subscribe to Council of Moms and please share this and the Council of Moms and this specific episode to all of the people you love in your life that you want to understand you and that who are trying to figure it out as we go. Thanks.